Ramble.
Welcome to Guilty Pleasures, the show that loves what it loves. Today, we're talking about Netflix's The Princess Switch, starring Vanessa Hudgens. That's right, we're keeping this holiday train a-moving as we begin our gentle march towards the end of the year. The sun is setting earlier, everything's depressing, but guess what, motherfuckers? We got Christmas movies and twinkling lights. Kelsey Garrick, how you feeling today?
I'm fucking pumped for Christmas shit, holiday shit injected into my veins.
I'm feeling solid. I'm feeling pretty good.
He's drinking.
Oh, wow.
I'm this drinking. Movie drove Garrick back into whiskeying during this podcast.
Yeah.
I feel like I can't get too much further into this podcast. I can't hide it, so I'm not even going to try to. This movie, like many Christmas movies for me, it's like just a warm bowl of soup, and it put me into... It just sedated me. It put me into this warm, cozy place. And as soon as this movie was done, I took a nap and I woke up about 3 minutes before recording this.
Oh.
I'm wiping the sleep off of me, but I'm a little bit sleepy.
You're a little bit cozy.
I'm ready to snuggle.
Yeah, there's something about a princess story that makes you want to go to bed. That's all I know.
The princess and the pea, she slept.
Yeah.
Princess Diaries.
Sleeping Beauty. She slept.
Slept.
Princesses love napping. That's all. I mean, look,
that's
they
how
love
so
all
hot.
Naps. I think so. I think that's how they get rid of all their smile lines and crow's feet is they just spend their time napping.
They love generational wealth and naps.
Yeah. They love rich boys and
Listen,
naps.
Listen, I love.
Who doesn't?
I love a good wrinkle. I don't know. Contrary to, I don't know where this whole thing came about where it's just like, I'm going to pump shit into my. Not shit. I'm sorry.
Are you out of your mind?
Nah, I love
Sequoia's
like
skin is like a fucking like a statue. Like very, she belongs in a museum.
It's very porcelain, and I cannot wait to watch her get old. I'm sorry.
Oh, that was so cute. Yeah. I know you meant wrinkly, but I took that as cute.
Yeah. Garrick says that he likes wrinkles because he's with someone who has the luxury of a single wrinkle, and it's like, oh wow, look at that wrinkle.
No,
I watched myself age. I'll never forget. It was a day during COVID where I like looked in the mirror and I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, there was a day where my eyes dropped and they just created this line and it's never gone away, and it's COVID.
Kelsey had that
COVID
scene
wrinkles.
In the Santa Claus where Tim Allen goes to shave and then whoosh, his beard comes
Great
back.
Movie.
Yeah.
But yes, I also got a beard.
You got a beard?
No, I got a beard too. Yep.
Damn, goddamn.
Well, let's talk about The Princess Switch, which contrary to popular belief is not a Lifetime movie. It is just a Lifetime style Netflix film. I'm going to hit us with the synopsis. We're going to get into it. We're going to do the damn thing because I have a lot about this plot that I want to talk about, want to talk through. Yep. So let's just fucking do it, gang.
Yep. Shall give us the fucking...
I'm into it.
It's just the title, right? That's the
It's
the
essentially in the spirit of great films before it, like The Parent Trap and my personal fave, Mary-Kate and Ashley's It Takes Motherfucking Two. Mm-hmm. You have Vanessa Hudgens as a baker. She goes to the wonderful European Christmas town of Belgravia.
I told you in the last podcast, everything in Europe is Christmas. So, I'm just saying,
he's right.
Here we are again.
It's Belgium.
We've got cobblestone.
It's Brussels.
Again, Europe, Christmas. There's nothing you can get
Christmas
around.
Christmas shops.
It's snowing. All
glog.
Of that shit. Glog.
You
whatever
ever had glog?
That, is.
That shit's glog. Weird. It's mold wine. It's like night wine. Not night like
Wait.
The time of day.
Yeah,
like
night.
The,
like the swords. Yeah, like, night.
Yes.
Real quick, because I now feel like an uncultured idiot.
Have you never been to Europe during Christmas time?
I just assumed that Belgravia was a made up place like,
no, it
like
is.
Genovia. Okay,
it
thank
is.
God. 100%.
Oh, but the same
I was
way
like,
Montenegro.
Oh, no, I'm an idiot.
But it was
is
in
Montenegro.
Belgium.
Yeah, it's like 100%.
Okay.
This is what Europe looks like everywhere.
All the
including
time.
Including London.
Every season.
Sweden.
Yep.
Germany.
Yep.
Vanessa Hudgens is Stacey DeNovio, baker extraordinaire, and she gets invited to Belgravia with her BFF Kevin and his adorable daughter. There, Vanessa discovers that the princess-to-be looks exactly like her. And so they decide to switch places because the princess-to-be wants to know what the real world's like. And Stacy, I guess, doesn't have anything better to do. They switch places. They fall in love with each other's people. What's gonna happen? This is the princess switch. Guys, this movie is just fucking comforting as fuck.
Yeah, it is.
It is a spoonful of peppermint and marshmallows and Santa Claus right to the fucking face.
It
has everything a good Christmas movie has.
Yeah.
Love.
Yep.
Running into each other at a toy store. Mm-hmm. Antics. An uppity fucking king that doesn't want his son to be happy. A plain faced Europe man that could also be in the Renaissance like we talked about last week.
The plainest faced European man. It's just unbelievable.
But
it just hits all the beats.
Yeah, and baking. And a great Belgian bake-off, I guess we would call it. But I thought it's so weird that because he didn't have the sideburns, I was like, oh, this guy's handsome. Like, immediately. I was like, oh, that's, I guess the mutton chops is what's throwing me off whenever I see like a plain-faced British guy or a plain-faced European guy.
Somewhere I think that is worth to start is acknowledging that, yes, this is It Takes Two. This is The Parent Trap. This
is The Prince and the Pauper.
Princess Diaries.
No.
It's the exact. First of all, Garrick, how dare you? The original is It Takes Two. So, okay, you know, show some respect where respect is.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
No.
No.
Oh, I was about to say, I was like, Prince and the Pauper is like a book, like an ancient book.
So, you give Mary Kay Ashley some respect.
You're right.
But look, you're listening to this and you go, I've seen this movie. And the answer is, yeah, you have. And that's part of, I think, the joy of it.
Right. Is that you don't really have to pay attention at all. It's just like, I know this story. Mm-hmm. I know where it's going to end up. Take me along for the ride, Vanessa Hudgens. Let's go.
Yeah. Listen, I'm devastated that this was written by not just one, but two women, because you could basically guess the entire plot from the title of the fucking movie. But I told the boys this. I watched this with four other grown adult people who are not in the entertainment industry, and they were calling the beats before they happened. They were like, oh, she's gonna fall in love with him. Oh, they're gonna get in a fight. Oh, he's gonna be a spy. Oh, she's not gonna be able to go to the baking competition, and then last minute switcheroo, the climax is gonna happen when she's at the baking competition. Oh, he's gonna come to it. Was like offensively simple, but I don't know why we all fucking loved this movie.
You love it because sometimes you just want to turn your brain off and watch some people fall in love. And also, I want to say everybody calling out the beats, like all of those guys in that room, they have bad taste in women, because if you if you're truly watching the movie, you're not paying attention to anything else other than the fact that Vanessa Hudgens is just so fucking cute. It is ridiculous. The whole time, so I'm just
goddamn
like,
doe eyes. Like,
yeah, it's just huge eyes.
I was like, wait, how is she hotter with a British accent?
Right, right. How is she hotter with shorter hair? Like, immediately.
Never happens.
I'm like, it does. Often. If I see Charlize Theron with long hair, I'm like, cut it off. Anyway.
Get away from me.
But anyway, like, yeah, she's just super cute, and I'm like fumbling over my words because I didn't even know I had a crush on this girl. I had watched most of the things. I'd watched, like, you know, we'd watched High School Musical. I've seen her go about her day throughout Twitter and all of her antics and all of that stuff. But I don't know what it was in this movie. It really, really did it for me.
Can I tell you something, Garrick, that's going to make you a little jelly?
What's that?
When we all worked at BuzzFeed, we had a studio across the street from BuzzFeed studio that was home of what used to be the Busy Phillips Show, RIP. And one day I was walking, like, during lunch, and I saw they were filming a segment at the Busy Phillips Show, and they were on the street, and I was like, oh shit, I'm walking right towards them, they're gonna ask me to do a segment, and I'm in my sports bra, whatever, let's go, let's show America my nipples. So they pull and they're like, hey, will you be in this segment? And we're like, yeah, sure. They're like, it's a fashion thing, like, you're just gonna rate fashion looks from this year's whatever. And I was like, great. And so they show me a bunch, and they're like, what about this one, what about this one? I'm like, oh yeah, great. Oh, like, no. And they're like, what about Vanessa Hudgens? And I was like, oh, I love her, she's stunning, she's great. And then motherfucking Vanessa Hudgens popped out of the door and surprised us and was like, hi. And we were like, ah. And she's as nice and cute and smooth skin in real life as she is in this film. And her teeth are like.
Her skin is too smooth and her eyes are so big and doughy. And what gives her the goddamn right?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Well, it gives his right.
I similarly didn't know that I had a crush on her until I watched this movie. And I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I do now. And I that's just not fair.
What are you guys, blind?
No, but
well, I just don't think much of her.
I don't think
much
of her
either. And I know that she says stupid stuff. And like, I didn't want to know this about myself, but here we are. And that's
fine.
We're not
in her like orbit of content, I want to say.
I see her a lot more than you guys do, probably.
Yeah, I see her rarely. And then when I watched this movie, I was like, God damn. Like, I had no idea that
okay,
she was...
But wait, can I ask a for real question?
Yeah.
And you guys have to answer this honestly. And this is part of it. It's like, does her being in this kind of movie, this Lifetime simpleton film, make her hotter or... Nodder. Like, do you want her to
seem more accessible? And that is a little fucked up for me to say, but I truly looked. I was just like, I wonder how many followers on Instagram she has. She probably has like 10,000 or something. I can slide.
Like
that type of.
You thought she, Vanessa Hudgens, had 10,000 followers on Instagram?
Off of the movie. And that's, That's just me. That's like
it's not like she's a B character from like Mean Girls. She is the fucking Lindsay Lohan.
She's Disney famous is the thing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing you don't even understand, Garrick. Like Disney stars who you don't even think are anybody are 50
Ariana
times
Grande.
Bigger than any of us will ever be.
But this is me. This is me thinking about the movie and the movie alone, not like. You know, Vanessa Hudgens as a name and her career and
her
all that stuff is just like
career.
Based off of the movie. If I walked in and I saw this movie on, I had no idea who Vanessa Hudgens was. And I just was like, let me just see how many followers on Instagram she has. And I saw 47 million. I'd be like, who the fuck is this person? Why is she doing these roles?
Sequoia, if you're listening, we are so sorry.
Yeah. Objectively, Sequoia is a better looking person.
Sequoia's perfect. Every time I open my Instagram and Sequoia's on my feed, I go,
it's ridiculous.
And I feel like wind blow through
my
hair.
I'm trying to make sure that if she does get 47 million
Let's talk about Vanessa Hudgens in this movie, because if you want to watch an old Disney star saunter into the role of playing the fun trope of playing herself and her British twin, it's always a British twin, but for this time, the twist is watching someone absolutely not nail either role, well then this is the movie for you. Because she just is just not good, and it's just so wonderful to watch.
You guys thought she was bad in this?
As a British person?
Okay, one of my pleasures was how good of a job she did at faking being bad at a British accent.
Yeah,
as
but then
the girl
when she wasn't the person
the one
faking
an
the
accent,
British accent
I was like,
and just having a British accent, that was also bad.
We don't know Montenegro or what's it called? Montenero isn't in, you
know.
I think it's
Lil Nas X's real name, Montero.
Okay.
That's where she's from. Yeah.
But here's,
we don't know that it, maybe it's not British.
If I'm being truthfully honest, whenever Americans put on British accents, mm-hmm. I never can tell if the accent is bad because I am American and I'm the one they're trying to fool, not mm-hmm. British people.
I just hear
them and I'm just like, oh, they're British now. Mm-hmm. I guess that's how they talk.
I'm going to go a step further. I think every single person in this movie sounded like they were doing a fake British accent, including people that I think might actually be British. Like, the dad who's King George. Are you fucking kidding me? They couldn't come with a better name than King George.
Nope.
But he's like, I don't know why I went fucking Southern
like gambler,
yeah.
Like Leonardo DiCaprio into Django Unchained.
Colonel.
Most British people will say this. They'll tell you there is not a single American who can do a proper British accent, but all British actors can do American accents.
It's easy to do.
But why is it not easy the other way around?
And then there's also the aspect that our accent came from theirs. We sound like a really, really stripped down version of them. So I guess if they just like slow their roll a little bit and position their tongue a different way, they can get to an American accent eventually. Whereas we would have to work our way up to sound like them. That's my theory.
I'm thinking about Vanessa Hudgens in this, and it's really like hand in hand with the script, right? And the thing, it's such a first draft pass of the twin swap movie. Like, we have this montage of watching them switch, and it's like, oh, we're gonna do a goofy montage and laugh,
but
them walking back and forth, and then them going, mm-hmm. and they're fucking walking for 2 minutes, but we slap on a little Christmas song, and it's a little mm-hmm. montage, and honestly, it feels good, and I don't care. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking to your point, Kelsey, about how this is like, your friends were just guessing, right? You're just guessing. And I don't know that this movie is written stupidly. It's just written in a way that attention is optional. And I think that that's a pleasure in and of itself, right? The movie catches you up. It reminds you of the plot. It tells you what you missed. And then it just gives you these scenes where it goes, go refill your hot cocoa. We'll be here. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it. You're not going to miss anything.
It is the pop music of movies.
It's the junk food of movies.
We've all seen those YouTube
videos. It's the cupcake.
Of a guy, playing chords and then putting it in different tempos and being like, this is this pop song, blah, 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 blah. It's just like, there are a set of chords that you need to hit in order to make things catchy. Same thing with this. It's like, we're hitting all of the beats that you need to make me pay attention, but also not, but also have a good time and blah, blah, blah. You don't need anything else, really. Everything else is just like icing on the top of a cake.
It tickles me to think about why this got so popular, because I remember people like tweeting about this when it came out.
My sister
and, like,
loves
loving
this movie.
Yeah, and again, it's in an ironic way that it's like just a feel-good holiday classic somehow. It's become that thing. But the actual structure, you could argue,
it's like airtight.
Perfectly story structured. The problem is, we have the Cinderella story, we have the Princess Diaries, we have the Parent Trap already, but what is it about this one that
time
got made, I guess? Like,
I think it is the gap in time between all of those other movies that came out where they were just like, I think we just need another one of these to lift people's spirits up.
Yep.
Even though Lifetime movies do that 10 times a week every December. I can't believe but that's where, do you think Netflix was like, we need our Lifetime vertical being filled?
Trying to be
100%.
They're trying to be TV. They're not trying to be a premier network. You know, it's just like, we want to get all of those verticals, all of those channels on our
channels.
That feeling of that channel on our network.
And think about what Netflix has been focusing on, right? They have their the extremes, right? They have their prestige where, like, they're trying to take the big swings. And then everything else is a ton of unscripted and a ton of low-budget swings. So when we talk about the Lifetime movie, it's an aesthetic, it's a feeling, it's a script, right? Like, you know it's going to be a love story. But it also is a type of production because I unfortunately could not find the details of what the budget is. I guarantee you that this was a low-budget, like, maybe 16-day shoot. Like, they sped through this, and that's part of it. Like, we don't have time for fancy camera tricks. We're just going to – it's like paint by numbers. Here are the beats. They're perfect. We're not going to add any seasoning. Let's go. This is like the grilled chicken of movies.
Do you know – with no salt. Do you know how I know this budget was so fucking low? Is because that castle was made out of fucking cardboard. Every practical set in this movie – the exteriors, the cabin they were staying at, the like little Christmas town. I was like, that is made out of paper. That is cardboard and paper.
Can I do you one better? I know what the budget is. Zachary Kornfeld, noticed that the wardrobe department did my girl dirty.
You're going to
tell me that this is a princess wish fulfillment movie and that's what you're putting her in? Go off, Kelsey.
Zachary,
tell me.
In capital letters in my cons is Vanessa Hudgens ? In a plain pink t-shirt ? That is a fucking crime, bitch. I mean, down to the big, the simple sweater, scarf, jacket moments of her walking through town, to the big princess dress that was, I'm sorry, looked like it came off a wish.motherfucking.com.
I swear to God, I wrote wish in my fucking nose. Oh my God. This is the wish. That it's like, this is a wish fulfillment princess movie? No, it's a princess movie from wish.com.
Wish, yes. Like, that dress was.
I'm sorry.
You nailed
just
awful.
I'm sorry. I didn't notice fucking her awful. Outfits because her eyes are up here. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry.
I knew Rick was going to be like, what are you guys talking about?
You know what the most egregious one was? Oh my God. This moment made me howl with laughter. It's okay. So she switched lives with the princess to be, and the prince is supposed to be out of town for 2 days, so she's not gonna have to do anything. And then her husband to be is like, no, I decided I'm gonna stay and we're gonna fall in love. It's gonna be wonderful, mate. And so they decide to go horseback. They decide to go horseback riding, and it cuts to this slow motion out of focus shot where she comes into focus in the dorkiest fucking rider outfit with the little helmet, and we're supposed to go, oh wow, what was
they thought they were fucking serving Kendall Jenner in her new like Fendi horse riding pants collection. They were like, this is hot. Bitch, you look like an American Girl doll. You look awful. It was so offensive to her. Her body is a body oddie. Like, she has got curves. They literally went and copy just, they stamped on like a paper dress, like on those paper fucking dolls to her in this movie.
Can we talk about the love interest? Because this movie serves us with two. We have
can we please talk about Kevin Richards?
We have her childhood best friend, Kevin, who is a snackety snack. Oh, and then we have Edward the Prince. You want to start with Kevin?
Garrick, go ahead. Say why Kevin Richards is so hot.
He looks...
Your whole theory. Why is he so hot?
No. What is my theory?
No, it's because he's a single fucking dad.
I'm so sorry. I don't even know why. I didn't even.
I thought that was going to be your top comment.
I was so intrigued.
You were so intrigued by the film.
Think about that.
Yep. Because I literally went,
holy shit,
if he wasn't a daughter, would he be as hot? And I went,
single dad, no, daughter, mom left. Immediately out.
Sweatpants.
Oh, he fucking
brushing the teeth. Just a pal.
Oh my God. That is straight out of a fucking insane book. Dog, like that's just.
Oh my God.
He just
God.
Casually has abs. Like, oh my yeah. God.
As
what
a baker,
are you lifting weights
no,
all of the time? What are you lifting? What are you lifting? Flour?
Yep. No. No. Sacks of flour.
What I love too is that they gave him, like, for the first 30 minutes of the movie, they really gave him gay best friend vibes because he's yes. totally non-sexual no. towards her at all. And he's like, what? She's my best friend. I've never even thought of her that way. And then all of a sudden you go, "What? Oh my God, wait, what? You're straight?" And well, then yeah. and then they switch and then yeah. you fall in love and you're like, oh great, I want to hit it.
My favorite part, and we were all laughing at this, like we kept being like, God damn, is when you realize like, oh, they're just best friends, platonic, straight best friends. But then Vanessa yep. Hudgens is convincing the princess not to, there's no way she could possibly love fucking plain ass, regular ass, best friend ass guy. She's like throwing him, she's literally right. like, Kevin?
Right. And then she's, ugh, like, she's like, have you ever seen Kevin with
fuck
his shirt
Kevin.
Off? Ew, no. And he's like, I think you should. I think you should because it'll change how you look at it.
And this poor man, we realized, like, obviously he thinks he has yeah. fallen in love with his best friend. Like, he's fully doesn't know that. And I'm like, you've been
and
best
now,
friends
now
for 12 fucking years. Mm. And now you make the move? Like, no, bitch, you are always in it for the pussy, and be real with yourself. They really can't just be friends, men and women, because you're telling me for yeah, 12 years that motherfucker was waiting in the wings
well,
for her
can,
to be
look,
single.
Men and women can be friends, but they can't be attracted physically, or I don't know. I don't know. If
I think,
whatever. I don't want to get into women, women
no,
can
I'm
be
kidding,
friends to me.
Obviously.
But this movie presupposes, he says, like, she's just too intense. And it's like, no, no, no. That means that you think she's hot. You don't.
Yes.
Like, I. What are you talking about, dude?
Men and women can be friends non-sexually. As, yeah,
they can.
It's
like, look at us.
Okay, thank you so much.
I'm repulsed by
it.
You
anyway,
two.
I think that.
But if I switch places with my twins, who was just a little bit different, you'd be like, oh
no.
my God, have you seen
no.
Zach with
but
his
no,
shirt off?
I think that you, if the attraction. Happened mm-hmm. and then yeah. It was at the beginning and then nothing happened.
Yes.
100% like,
yes, yep. yes. But they fucked the first yeah. month
and
that they met
like,
for sure. Yeah. 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 Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Well, on the other side of the love dichotomy, we have Prince Edward, or as Kelsey said, Mr. Plainface. And
Mr. Plainface.
Look, he does nothing for me. It's a big problem I have with the movie. I don't think that he is a lust-worthy prince at all.
And neither is his personality. Like, it,
that's
it
for sure.
It's not like a redeeming quality where he's like a rebellious prince where you're like, fuck, you hate your parents and you want to like become a liberal prince and fuck shit up and start a revolution. Like, that makes me attracted to you. He had zero agency. He had zero desires for himself. Everything was sparked by Vanessa Hudgens' American character that like gave him the idea to be a better person. And I was like, it, not even a British accent made me want to fuck him, which is,
that is
very hard to do.
Accents add a lot of fuckability points. I mean, Garrick, I know you were quite enamored with Miss Hudgens in this film. So how do you feel about the prince?
That's what I was saying. The prince was a good looking guy. And I was like, it's yeah, I liked him.
You
as
liked
soon as
him?
I saw
okay.
his face, I was like, I mean, that's a very, it's a very plain face in the same way where you can't, it's plain enough to where you can't get any features wrong. So by definition, he is attractive, you know, where everybody's just like, oh, this
he's
person has
yeah.
a symmetrical face and all that stuff. There are no flaws there. It's just like, yeah.
But you know what Netflix has been doing to us? They've been giving us motherfucking Noah Centineo. They've been giving us fucking...
Kissing Booth homie. What was his name?
Yeah. A fucking tall boy that beats the shit out of people in Euphoria. Like, they've been giving us like ravaging, like weird, large featured... I mean, listen, I'm attracted to a strange type of man now because of media. I don't think it's your cookie cutter, sugar cookie, plain face boy anymore.
He's plain face, but also like I'm on Team Kelsey here. His personality in the film does not make him hot, right? There's nothing interesting about him. You know how I know that he ain't that? I feel bad because he's like a real human and we're saying that he's not hot. No, we're saying that you're a handsome man and your character is not hot. But yeah. I just looked him up on Instagram. 286,000 followers.
He's that's been big, in one movie.
But that's not huge. That's he's not been I'm in saying one
though. Movie. Off this movie.
Fucking Noah Centineo, yeah, 8 million. You know, all these fucking people, as you get in one of those, well, you skyrocket up. So the people, they love this movie, but they're not lusting after him.
Because For All the Boys was more of like an original, like fresh take on a love story. That's why people more people were gravitated towards that film.
I'm just looking at his Instagram now. He's more handsome in real life. I'm just fucking looking at this handsome man. I'm looking prince. At our prince.
What's his name? Because I wanna try and slide into the DMs just for the story of it.
Sam Palladio, P-A-L-L-A-D. Oh, he's British in real life. He's a singer songwriter.
There he is.
Oh my God, he's a dad.
A single dad?
Oh no, he's a dog dad. I think he's married. I don't know.
That's still pretty hot.
All right, we're gonna stop talking about this real person.
He's got a whippet. All right, whatever. I'll respectfully slide in at another time.
Respectfully, after we called him plain face. That's great. I love this. I wrote down in big letters Kevin over Edward. I believe that with all my heart. Yeah. Are we on, are Kevin we aligned is, here?
Kevin leans more towards Kevin, that weirder face person that Kelsey was just talking about. We're not weird. He doesn't have a weird face, but it's definitely more unique.
Unique. I don't know anyone that looks like him. Like, I remember what he looks like anytime someone.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And you know what? I'm also Team Kevin Richards, because tell me that motherfucker didn't luck out by thinking he was falling in love with his broke ass, regular ass baker friend, and then married a bajillionaire princess. Like, good for him. His daughter gets to be in the ballet now for free for the rest of her life.
I did also write the most unrealistic part of this movie is that at the end, this fucking aristocrat goes, I would like to be middle class.
I think that is the... Okay, so my whole thing with this whole movie and this whole style of movie is that when they switch, right? The princess is switching because she's saying, yo, none of this matters. My life fucking sucks and I don't like it. I want to be normal. Mm-hmm. And then the person that she's switching with is now being a princess and being like, oh, this is great, I guess. No, it's not. You're going to hate it, too. Why would you? Yeah. Of course, like I'm guessing and I'm hoping that in part two, because there is a part two, that she realizes that she hates it. Tonight. She hates the duty of it. She doesn't like being around these stuffy ass people.
And on the other side, there's nothing rich folks love more than going downtown and slumming it with the poor. Am I right?
Yep. What's it from? Hamilton. Thank you.
You're welcome. I think that's our third Hamilton reference in a month. So I have a lot of questions about some kind of throwaway details in this plot. And that's what happens when you do these plot contrivances, but it opens up the can of worms. So first, I want to talk about this creepy ass old man who seems to be pulling the strings. Yeah, who the fuck is this guy? This horny old creepy man.
I had no idea what he was. And I was trying to come up with a theory. And I was like, I don't know. Maybe this dude was in A Prince and a Pauper or in It Takes Two or Trading Places. I don't know.
I'm going to tell you.
Can you tell people the details of him before we reveal? Okay.
Yes, he was a very ugly, squishy old man who is apparently time travels, because first he shows up in Chicago and is like, what's your Christmas wish? And then all of a sudden she gets into Belgravia competition and she runs into her ex-boyfriend. She goes to Belgravia. And then this man is popping up not only in the toy store as an employee, but then he works for the rich family. And you're like, who is this magic man that keeps pushing this love forward? And I have an answer for you.
Did you watch Lost? He's like Jacob in season five, season six. He's just there touching all the characters, gently thrusting them towards their destiny. Who
was
do you
Jacob
think
the old guy?
Kind of. Not the important. Thing.
He is important. The spirit of Christmas. And that's it. He's the spirit of Christmas. He doesn't have a name. He doesn't have a face. He's a faceless man, just like in Game of Thrones. He is just there to facilitate connections that normally wouldn't happen in a movie, because things don't happen the way they do in real life, which is like you fucking meet him on Bumble, you fuck him one night, and then you never talk to him again. You keep self-sabotaging until you go to therapy for like 13 years, and then you finally maybe have like some sort of cute meet cute. But no, you need the ghost of spirit Christmas to show you the way.
Garrick would say, I think it's called lazy writing.
He didn't even need to be in the movie. Those are all scenes that you could have cut to save me 15 minutes out of my life. You know, like, why would he... Sure, he's pushing things along, but things that were already going to happen regardless.
He genuinely didn't change anything. Scene.
We're not dumb. We know that we have the suspension of disbelief that these people would run into each other. Most of the time.
We are kind of dumb, though, Garrick. I think we're watching this movie because we want to be dumb. I see it on both. I think that we want a character in this film to tell us exactly what's happening.
Yeah, but
sometimes.
Also those four bros in Kelsey's apartment guessed perfectly what the movie was going to be. So I'm saying that we're not as dumb as you think.
First of all, it was one lady and two bros, and we're in a cabin in the Catskills, and it's Christmassy. It's fuck up here.
Okay, that sounds beautiful, honestly.
I had a darker theory of this. So the movie opens, and we see this old man, right? And then all of a sudden, we go to Belgravia, and there he is again. And she goes, do I know you? And he's like, well, that would be impossible. How would I be over there? And then, so there's two of these guys, right? One in Chicago, one in Belgravia. And then there's two Vanessa Hudgens, right? One here, one in Belgravia. And I think it's like the movie Us. Jordan Peele's Us, okay? And these are their their European tethers.
Oh,
and it's like, bonk, 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 bonk. And it's actually, the entire movie is an extended metaphor for, say it with me, children,
colonialism.
And the continued impact that it has on the world and how we lust after these monarchy stories because we still live in a colonial world, even in the modern times. Are you with me?
I actually weirdly fucking am. I'm sorry to Jordan Peele for that statement, but yes, I'm weirdly with you.
One of the greatest trailers of all time, I would say.
I want to see this movie recut as a horror movie because especially from the perspective of the little girl, fucking terrifying for the first 30 minutes. Can we talk about that?
I mean,
like, you're different.
She has no idea. Your feet smell different.
Yeah, I feel like you smell
better. She comes downstairs and this expert baker is burning breakfast. They have this secret handshake and she fucks it up.
From the Parent Trap.
It literally a beat stolen.
They didn't even try to make it different from the Parent Trap handshake. I know.
Well, they know. Like, they know. They're playing homage. I think they know their influences.
Were they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like a scene from the movie. There's no way that's not paying homage.
Is it the exact same handshake? Is it literally the same one?
I don't.
The only thing they're missing is the butt tap.
But that happens, right? I come downstairs and like my godmother is a different person. That's a horror movie.
Yeah.
Or my favorite. I'd like to hear the explanation. They skirted around the moment where she reveals to her that she is a different person and they just cut to, oh, look, now we've kind of thrown this, I don't know what the fuck it's called when they do that plot skip, but they really just, they missed some good opportunities for like some actual drama and they just gave us formula.
Speaking of moments stolen from other movies, so we have the handshake stolen from The Parent Trap. There's a literal, so It Takes Two, I don't know if you guys know by how much I'm talking about it. It is like one of my true childhood favorite movies. We will do it on the show in the future.
We should do it.
I think it is the superior twin swap movie. I fucking love Mary-Kate and Ashley. I stand by it. I will throw down. But they steal the piano scene as well, where she has to play literally exact beat. Except Mary-Kate and Ashley are supreme comedic actors, and Vanessa Hudgens just kind of sits there and they do like a little cute romance scene.
I forgot about that.
At first I thought, oh, maybe he knows who she is and he's covering for her. No, he didn't. It was deeply condescending where she's presented as this incredibly gifted piano player, and the way that they cover it, he goes, oh, you just play these four notes and I'll do the rest. It's like, I'm sorry, what, motherfucker?
Yeah, I thought you were the best in the land or something. And I thought that was a moment where he could have started figuring it out and then being like, I think I'm okay with this. because I mm-hmm. like whoever this person is, and I'm looking at everything through yep. rose-colored glasses. And that would have been dope. That would have yep. been 100% a little different. It would have been more parent trappy, mm-hmm. sure, but it would have been
but
it would have been nice.
And they did the same thing with him that they did with the little girl, where they skipped over the moment of the reveal so that they could just keep driving the plot forward. Like, when she's like, I need to tell you something. And then you're like, oh my God, I'm finally going to watch her tell him that this has been a ruse this whole time. And then it doesn't. It cuts to the baking show, where then you watch it happen in real time, which I think, again, it's exactly like what Garrick's saying. There were these little moments that they could have acted yeah. out and shot through that would have made me think like, hey, there's the chops, there's the acting chops. Maybe they did shoot it, maybe it's on the cutting room floor, I don't know. The biggest con for me, and this truly, I don't think it would have changed the movie if they just would have gone with the truth on this, so I don't know why they like lied to us as the audience on this one as well, but the fucking cake judge decision, where they are up against another apparently like cunty American yeah, couple who's like won last year.
This our is Vanessa the big girl, climax, the,
yes,
the big,
the big judging yeah. moment. And it's like our Vanessa girl and her sous chef make this very cute, but like, come on, very regularly tiered, round Christmas, like 10 story cake, which like you could see that on any of Duff City Cakes, like any day of the week in New Jersey at Carlos.
But real quick timeout. All of the cakes at the end, they had what, 3 hours? They make skyscrapers.
5 hours.
Am I crazy, or is that not enough time to do what they all
it's
did?
Plenty of time. No, is if it? You ever okay, walked a baking yeah. show, oh my God, you've clearly never watched
sorry,
how much time fucking Cake Boss. Plus like okay. 3 days of prep. Like, I'm sorry. That means yeah. you've been practicing baking this 20-layer cake for like many
yeah, the
weeks.
5 hours is literally just putting everything together, baking things
yes.
and then putting it together.
Yes. Which you do
okay,
every day
of
your life anyway.
All of our viewers know that I don't know anything about baking.
Anything about cakes.
They like it that way.
Or, yeah. or what are they called? Doyles? No.
Dowels?
Dowels, yes. You don't know about dowels either, which really makes me LOL. but my biggest complaint is that this other cunty American couple, well, yes, they were supposed to be the villains for no fucking reason. They made a Christmas ornament ball stacked cake that literally defies the laws of dowels and gravity.
Nah,
and they are
zigzaggy
ornament balls stacked on top of you, sparkly.
No,
bitch, how dare you give that second place?
We've seen that on Great British Bake Off all of the time. All
they do,
yeah, all they do is put a fucking long wire through it that kind of curves, and then puts the balls on top of the wire. So that you have
so
the
Garrick
frame.
Has watched baking shows.
Yeah, I have. I didn't say I didn't. It was fucking Zach. Fucking Zach said he never watched Great British Bake Off. I've watched several seasons of that bitch. Like, what the
okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. I can't believe it. Don't know. Don't apologize. I'm wrong. You clearly fucking know what you're talking about. But you really thought like a 20-tiered plain-ass rectangle cake was more worthy than that?
No, they should have lost. They still should have lost. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But I am not.
I mean, they made a point of making every other cake just awful, right? Yeah. Like the German duo that won
like
had like this brown cake, which like motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Making a brown,
they love
like,
to shit on like, Germans. I was in Germany for a second. Beautiful country. Well, it's
Germany's
yeah, but
great.
The Germans kind of like did fuck over everyone.
That is fair.
For a while.
Yeah, but you know what? But they redeemed themselves so hard. They're like the
trying
coolest place
to
in the
redeem
world right now.
Themselves. They did not redeem yeah. themselves yet. As a Jewish man,
uh-huh. great point. As the Jewish man, there's no making it. But I will say right now, we're the supervillains of the world, and they're like, they're the fucking dope heroes.
Oh.
I would say yeah. Germany's way cooler than us right now.
Oh, Americans.
I said it.
Oh, you
I said
America.
It.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, not Jews.
Yeah. I was like, oh, you guys are still being prosecuted. I think you should.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah. okay, but like adding to my point of those villains were kind of unnecessary, I have another
for sure.
like villainous moment that I think was a little weird. Like, so when they switch, the family, the royal family starts to notice that our princess to be is acting a little strange. But by strange, she's being a better person. She's like going to charities. She's making your son like more out of his shell and happier. And they're like, absolutely not will we allow our son to be happy. This can only be done for duty and not love. And I'm like, why were his parents so mean about it? But I mean,
it's the same shit with what's happening with my girl in London.
Kate Middleton and
Meghan Markle, where it's just like they left because of whatever the inner workings of the duty are that we're not seeing. Where she was like, yo, I gotta get this was nice. I like you, but we need to get the fuck out of here because they're.
And props to him for leaving. Like, that white guy did not have to leave.
Yeah. There's also this princess of Japan that was just like, I'm just going to marry a regular person so that I can get rid of, not because I love this dude, but also I want to get rid of this.
My duties.
Yeah, my duties. So it's just like, there's.
I love though, and you are right. In this movie, the king is like, do you think she's acting a bit liberated as a woman? She has a. Would you say that she has more opinions today than she did yesterday?
It's very strange.
Which I guess is very true to life. Like, they want to put a lid on it. They want to put the cap on the women. Like, for sure. But
and that also...
Do you find it curious that she has personality today?
So, yes, she spoke.
Which, what an indictment on the princess version of her.
Yes, because the princess version of her, I feel like when she is liberated, she does have this more freewheeling and free-minded lifestyle. So... That just means that Kevin was in love with his friend. He just didn't get the opportunity to fall in love with his friend. And now that he's meeting her again for the first time.
Aww.
Boom.
Yeah.
So, that's a good way of putting it.
Garrett believes in true love.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that Kevin is in love with his buddy and didn't know how to explain it because he hasn't gone to therapy yet. Whatever.
We were talking about baking before. I'm curious. Do you believe... in Vanessa Hudgens as a baking ingenue?
No.
Because where we meet her... Once.
I barely believe in Vanessa Hudgens in any role that she's ever...
Because, like, in the beginning of the movie, we meet her, like, she's, like, the fucking hot baker in Chicago. She's what? She's 28 when this movie starts? Do you know how good you have to... Do you know how expensive real estate is in Chicago? To be the top dog? Like, I'm sorry, bro. And she went to Cordon Bleu. Like, it ain't easy.
Yeah.
And, it's like, not an international reporter recognizes her in another country as the baker from Chicago. Like, this girl fucking. This girl is living in a penthouse. Yeah. This girl has her own Food Network show.
She could also be... he could also just notice her because he was covering the competition as well. Where he's just like, this is something that I write about. And you're the one. You're the new girl.
You're the best kept secret in Chicago, dearie.
Yeah. So it could have been that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Wait. I did forget to say, like, the one biggest guilt of this movie, plot-wise, is that the princess's reasoning for wanting to be a regular gal, no one knew what she fucking looked like. So why didn't she just put on a fucking hat and scarf and go be a regular fucking person if she had never been seen in public
I think she needed a replacement. So this is... This is the airtightness of this script showing, where it's just like every time you try to poke a hole, there is something that you can really explain away with like two steps of thought, where it's just like,
though she needed a replacement.
She needed somebody to pose as her.
She couldn't just sneak out.
Because she is a liberated woman. She had to be under close watch.
Wow.
Yeah.
There was a very good explanation, Garrick.
And you know why there's a really good explanation? Because this movie, and this is my biggest guilt, the first 10 minutes especially, it is an exposition machine.
Oh my
This movie just grabs the microphone and goes,
this is Vanessa Hudgens. She just got out of his breakup, and then she did it, and now she's a great baker. She's going to do all these things.
Like, it fucking tells you everything. Yeah. And literally the introduction, she's like, hey, it's me, your favorite goddaughter. You're my only goddaughter, okay? That's their relationship. It's like, oh my God. It just fucking puts all the plot on this giant spoon and shoves it down your fucking throat and says, eat up, bitch.
Mm-hmm.
What did I write down? Oh, you know the other thing that drove me insane is at the opening, I wrote, okay, wait. She was in this three-year relationship with Paul, who's another plain-faced motherfucker, like Vanessa Hudgens. She's too hot in this movie to be with these plain-faced, like, give her some, like, fucking hunky ass. But they were in a three-year relationship, and she goes, Christmas was a really special time for us. Which is like, what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah. Christmas was a special, Christmas is a time for families, not a time for you and your three-year boyfriend? What the fuck? And they did that because they wanted to just very efficiently say, her life is sad, and also she's single.
Yeah.
Right? That's the only reason you do that.
Also,
that she can't get over anyone.
And this is going, I'm sorry, this is fucking going back to the whole Vanessa Hudgens of it all. The girl that Paul is dating instead of Vanessa Hudgens.
Criminal.
If I was Vanessa Hudgens, I would have seen who she was with, who Paul was with, and I would have been like, good job, buddy. You fucking loser.
I would have taken Paul aside and been like, buddy, are you okay? Are you feeling okay?
Are you okay?
Vanessa fucking Hudgens.
Yeah. My friend Lacey, who I was watching this with before the woman walked out, she goes, she's going to walk out and be the whitest, plainest bitch of all time. Yeah. And I was like, no, they're going to make her a stunner. And sure enough, plainest, sweetest, roundest.
The plainest. Like, Vanessa Hudgens is so Vanessa Hudgens that the three of us are just willfully ignoring the fact that she said that COVID didn't matter at the beginning of the pandemic. And we're like, who cares? This movie's fun.
Just so you know, Vanessa Hudgens is currently dating
some baseball
Major
guy.
League Baseball. Oh, you already know this.
Yes, I know. Of course I know. You think I didn't Google? Oh, it was a first Google suggestion.
Just the fact that you thought you could slide into Vanessa Hudgens.
Here's the thing. Everyone, there's leagues, right? I believe this truly. Like, there are people who are out of my league, but everyone also has a type. And then once I see that someone's dating an athlete, I go, okay, great. That your type is something that I will never be in. That's fine.
Your type is elite. That's it. It's an elite athlete.
Yeah. No, it's literally like otherworldly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like better genetics, better everything, better bank account. I get it. Better.
And
yeah,
that's just
features.
Unfortunate.
Hey, when you want someone nice who will make you laugh, I'll be here.
Just hanging out.
You know, here's another thing that pisses me off in this movie. Fucking guilt to princess movies in general, because it creates an unrealistic expectation for us men in the relationship. Because the way that the prince is just always planning these exquisite dates, he's a fucking, he's worrying about global affairs and diplomacy. But meanwhile, he's like, I got us a horseback ride this morning, and I charted us this thing this morning, and I cleared our schedule. They say schedule the whole time. Yeah. They don't say schedule like normal fucking
the
people.
The amount of times they said the word schedule was unnecessary. Listen, I'm telling you both what to do. Get a fucking helicopter or a plane or first class, spend a lot of money, fly your girl to fucking Europe and let her go shopping. For both of you, that's all we fucking want
Did you say helicopter to Europe?
Yeah.
Okay, listen, that's a long flight. It would be a very big helicopter, okay? I'm telling
Apache
you both.
Apache helicopter to Europe. You know, the last thing that I think is worth mentioning is the scene where they first saw each other. They have like a little moment where they look into the mirror and they go, like they look as if they should be shocked, and then have
no reaction.
Shock whatsoever.
No reaction.
They don't scream.
Our room full of bros erupted into fury after that moment of like, we're not gonna fucking address what just happened there.
We look exactly the fucking same. What?
I gotta watch the sequel to know how they're related. Is there a third? Like, what could possibly be the princess switches again? What could it possibly be about?
What would make them need to re-switch? I must know. Who's switching, though, and why?
Yeah.
Is there a third one?
Somebody's probably...
Is there a third? I think there's a triplet.
That would be so fun if they go somewhere else and they're like, whoa, whoa, what? And there's another twin, and then we get to see Vanessa Hudgens do Cockney, or like Vanessa Hudgens do a German accent.
I'll let you know after tonight, because I'm 100% watching it again.
Imagine Vanessa Hudgens like
five, like it's fucking the Spider-Verse of Vanessa Hudgens princesses. Yeah. So we have American Vanessa Hudgens. We have British Vanessa Hudgens, German, we have Russian Vanessa Hudgens.
I would love for it to be an aggressive version of Three Identical Strangers, where it's just like, we'll have
one dies.
What is a princess? What is a fucking Chicago baker? And the third one dies. Yes, absolutely.
the third one's a murdering psychopath.
Yeah. Third one could use some money.
Yeah.
Can I tease you a little bit? I just read the synopsis for the sequel. And it's Duchess Margaret unexpectedly inherits the throne to Montanaro and hits a rough patch with boyfriend Kevin at the same time. Wait for it. Oh, it's up to her double Princess Stacy to get the star-crossed lovers back together, which means, do you think that regular Stacy's gonna fuck her best friend's prince? What? What do you mean?
Wait, you're telling me that my beautiful Kevin gets dumped?
No, I think Stacy is gonna fuck Kevin to get them back together.
I'm in. I can't wait.
Because she's gonna go back and be the princess. And fuck him back into submission of being in love.
And by the way, shame on me as the synopsizer for not mentioning that her name is Lady Margaret Delacourt, Duchess of Montanaro. I'm so sorry. I failed you, dear.
I mean, you already said Duchess of Montero, so is that.
Yeah, there you go. The Duchess of Montero, she calls her by her name.
American accent one and not in British one. We're
fine. There you go. There are not really any fun facts for this movie, so I had to do more work than normal, and I've got to. I've got to. The final scene, you can see when Vanessa Hudgens is clapping for... Okay, British Vanessa Hudgens is clapping for America Vanessa Hudgens, who gets married. She brings her hand up, and you can see Vanessa Hudgens' real-life hand tattoo, because even the people making this movie said, let's just fucking wrap it up.
Damn, they really missed that in the edit.
I think that they were like, well, it's a close-up. We don't need to worry about that. And then Vanessa just improvised this little woo, and they're like, oh, that's fun. Keep it in. And then the editor, like one of the assistant editors was like, should we tell them that there's a hand? And they're like, nah, who fucking cares? We're getting paid by it. Like,
I hope it says something like Thug Life or something.
I think it's like a
atrocious
three or whatever. Holy shit, you guys. By the way, a little follow-up from last week. I got a DM from someone who worked on Cats. And this person worked in the sound department, did confirm that everyone hated working with Tom Hooper, that it was just a nightmare experience. Shout out to our listener. I will not name you for anonymity. Yeah. But she shared that some of her coworkers, they noticed Judi Dench's ring, and they decided to say nothing because they were like, fuck you.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice.
Pretty good. Stick it to the man.
Yeah, bonus Cats fun fact in this.
Yeah, that was fun fact.
And then this is, to me, a truly fun fact, is that this movie, we've talked about a lot of Rotten Tomatoes scores on this show, and this movie has a 71% because the critics decided, you know what, fuck it, let's move the goalposts.
Yeah.
We know what this is, and
the fact that they say that this movie is better than critically acclaimed Jumper is truly insane. I do not understand.
I will back you the fuck up on that forever.
A sci-fi masterwork.
I want to tell you some movies around it, because I was able to find a way to look at other movies with the same score.
Yeah. Oh.
So this movie, The Princess Switch, has the same score as David Fincher's The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Oh my God.
Wow.
This movie, The Princess Switch, by critics, is 1% behind Forrest Gump.
What?
Oh.
Yeah, nobody was paying attention 100% when they were.
Yeah.
Is 1% better than Tim Burton's Batman.
Of course.
It has the same score as sci-fi classic Soylent Green. Princess Switch is a fucking classic. What can we
say?
It's
a Christmas classic now. It is to be added to the list of the greats, you know, the fucking Holiday, fucking Home Alone, and The Princess Switch.
This is one of the better movies that, we've reviewed on the show.
Yeah, this actually goes against our rule.
Okay, but
which
by
is
your opinion
be...
or by rating?
By rating.
By
okay,
rating.
Okay. This Obviously. Is, I need to get on my high horse, okay? I need to just like Vanessa Hudgens flop right over that motherfucker.
Yep.
Guys, Rotten Tomatoes cannot be wholly trusted for your movie watching opinions. Yeah. It's a great tool, but yeah. It is just an aggregate of yes or no. And so they are judging based, like, if you hear word of mouth and people say that you trust, like a movie, go fucking watch it because the score means nothing. That's something that drives me crazy with a lot of my friends.
You know what? Speaking of IMDb or whatever, I did end up downloading that website that you had told us that people ask, why don't we have one where we talk about the movies we've seen?
Letterboxd.
I now have a Letterboxd, so go follow me on Letterboxd.
Well, hey, we got to decide. Is this movie a pleasure, guilty pleasure, just plain guilty?
Zachary, Andrew, how dare you even ask? It's a guilty pleasure.
It's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah. It's the truly a definition of a guilty pleasure because you just feel so warm when you're watching the movie, even though it's cold outside. It just, and yet I'm like, there's no way that anybody had any notes on this because they're just like, this is a cut and paste. Who gives a shit? Put it out. Nobody cares. We're making a budget. We got Vanessa Hudgens. What more do you want? I feel like this movie...
That's where the budget
this
went.
This movie is proof that the American film system is wholly based off of people's faces and not so much based off of stories. Because I watched the fuck out of this movie and then I woke up and I was like, what did I just watch? I have no idea because I was so entranced. Anyway...
I had dreams
sometimes
about
empty
it.
Calories are good.
Yeah, sometimes you know? I love a good Cheeto, you know?
Yeah.
You see the tray of donuts and you go, I know I shouldn't, but today I want to.
I'm a joke.
Even just thinking about this movie makes me want to have a little Christmas tree, little Debbie, and I'm going to go get one right after we hang up.
Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah. All right, nothing more to say. Guys, have a happy motherfucking Thanksgiving. Happy holidays and all that stuff. Next week, we will be watching Pitch Perfect 3. We're going right to the third one. Our good friend Lord DIY is returning to the pod. I'm at Gordon Diddy on all the things. Ho, ho, ho.
I'm Kelsey Dara on all the things. Ho, ho, ho.
I'm Garrett Bernard on all of the things. Ho, ho, ho.
And until next time, I wrote this
Stay
quote down.
Stay guilty.
I love you more than I've ever loved anyone in my whole life. Bitch, you known him for two days.
Two fucking days.
2 days. And I like when she said, I'm a regular girl. I have to marry a regular man.
No, you're not.